Welcome back to The Look and Sound of Leadership, an ongoing series of executive coaching tips designed to help you be perceived in the workplace the way you want to be perceived. I'm Tom Henschel, your executive coach, and today we're talking about how to grow your self-management. Chin Sun and I were discussing the discipline of self-awareness. During our coaching conversation, I said people high in self-awareness are able to get their emotions working for them instead of against them. She challenged that. How exactly, she wondered, did self-awareness help people get their emotions working for them? I laughed and said, that's a good point. It is not only high self-awareness that allows them to get their emotions working for them, it's also the ability to self-manage. It's self-awareness and then self-management. And you can't have the second without the first. What about the other way around? She wondered, can you have self-awareness without self-management? Well, that's an interesting question, Chin Sun. What do you think? She said, I suppose you can, right? Like, suppose I become aware of some pattern of behavior I have with my daughter. Just because I know that I do it doesn't mean I won't do it over dinner tonight. Well, that makes sense, I agreed. This sounds like how I talk with people about eliminating ums. Awareness is only the first part of it. She looked amused. You talk with people about eliminating ums? I shrugged and smiled. What can I say? I'm a communications coach. Non-words are part of communication. We've all got them, right? But sometimes, you know, somebody's got a really bad case of them. They're so bad you start counting them. She laughed. I had a direct report like that. I could not listen to her. Which isn't good for her career, right? I replied. So yeah, with someone like that, yeah, I talk about eliminating ums by using self-awareness and self-management. She said, are you saying the same principles apply to eliminating ums as to getting my emotions working for me? I am, I said. I think the cycle of self-awareness and self-management is the same for any behavior you're trying to change. Can I give you my spiel about ums and you tell me if you think it applies? Okay, she said, smiling. Chin Sun liked stories and analogies. I said, suppose you say an Picture it coming out of your mouth on a stream of air. If it were animated, we'd see all the words flowing out of your mouth, including your ums. You with me so far? Sure, she said. I'm imagining a singer with the notes coming out, too. Great, I said. Next, picture this. So suppose you want to stop saying What's the first thing you do? You have to begin noticing the ums. You have to become self-aware of something that has been invisible. It's not easy. But suppose you put some effort into it, and suppose you do manage to notice one. What are you going to notice? You're going to notice an that is way out there on the stream of air, an arm's length away. That's where awareness gets you started. Now, if you want to stop saying them, you have to engage self-management. She was nodding, following along. I continued, here's what self-management might sound like at that point. You'd say to yourself, the next time I say an I want to notice it one inch closer. You're going to use your self-management together with your self-awareness to begin reeling in your You're anticipating improvement by increments, little by little. That is self-management. With surprise, she said, that makes sense. I think I was imagining self-management like some light switch. You know, you'd choose to do it and then you'd do it. But of course it's not that way. Of course it takes practice. So how would I apply that to getting my emotions working for me? Well, I don't know, Chin Sun. Let's find out. First, what would getting your emotions working for you actually mean? When do your emotions work against you? She answered, when I don't speak up. I stayed silent as I watched her follow some thought. And then she said, I'm severely lacking in courage. I nodded. And then I asked, if you were going to set a goal for growing your courage, what would it be? She laughed. Give me more of it. Is that a good enough goal? Still laughing, she waved her hands, erasing that. Okay, seriously. I want to speak up more. And when I speak up, I want to speak up confidently. Okay, I said. Suppose you were going to use self-management to help you speak up more confidently more often. What would you do? She looked away from me, imagining. I'm picturing myself stuck in one of those debates in my head. One voice is telling me, be quiet, they don't want to hear from you, and the other voice is telling that first voice to shut the hell up. Which one wins? I asked. Most of the time, the fearful one. That's the problem. I've got awareness, but not enough management. I said, I'm curious, Chinsun, has the percentage changed over time? Do you speak up more now than you used to? Well, little, not enough. I laughed and wagged a teasing finger at her. What did you say a minute ago about growth not being a light switch? She gave a gasp. Oh, golly, you're right, my bad. Yes, 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 I speak up more than I used to. A little, anyway. I said, okay, good for you. You are summoning up your courage and reeling in your fear a little at a time. That is a great example of how your self-management is getting your emotions under control. I guess, she said without conviction. And then she asked, do you have some self-management tools to help me get there faster? I nodded, and I said, yes. When you are having that inner argument with yourself, there's a question you could ask yourself. Ask yourself, if I don't say this now, will I regret it later? Ooh, that might be good, she said, nodding and writing it down. And then she smiled and said, I'm thinking my daughter might benefit from the opposite question. Will I regret it later if I do say this now? She leaned towards the camera and, in a mock whisper, said, the girl doesn't always have the greatest self-management over her mouth. I laughed. She's in good company. As a coach, I talk with a lot more people on her side of the struggle than yours. She laughed knowingly. There is a lot of hot air out there, isn't there? I said, with people like that, who want to self-manage what comes out of their mouths, I share three questions for them to ask themselves. I heard the questions attributed to Craig Ferguson, who was a TV host. He said, before you open your mouth, ask yourself three questions. First, does this need to be said? Second, does this need to be said by me? And third, does this need to be said by me now? She spoke as she wrote, these would be good for my daughter. I said, I think asking yourself any question creates the most important part of self-management, the pause. Self-management is about controlling what you can, right? I mean, you can't control your feelings, those happen. And you can't control your thoughts, those happen. But once those happen, you can control your reactions. Pausing gives you choice. I have a little model for this, I said, picking up my pad and pen. While I sketched, she said, pausing feels like the opposite of what I'm aiming for when it comes to speaking up. But like with Diana, my daughter, for sure, a pause would help her. I held up my drawing. There were four boxes going across the page. The one on the left pointed to the next one over. That second one pointed to the third, which pointed to the last one on the right. Each box had a word printed inside. In the first box on the left was the word event. Next was feelings. Next was thoughts. And finally, action. I asked her, do you remember when we imagined being cut off on the freeway? I was referring to a conversation we had already had. I pointed at the words in turn. Something like that, being cut off on the freeway, is the event. I pointed in the first box. Then there are feelings, fear, anger, whatever. Then you have thoughts. You remember your thought? She laughed and quoted herself, rich, self-centered bastard. Right, that was your thought. Those first three, the event, the feelings, and the thoughts, all happen without your control. You might even have follow-up feelings like, I want to teach that bastard a lesson. She laughed, oh, I know that feeling. All three of those lead up to the last box, action. So on the freeway, maybe I step on the gas and come right up on his bumper. She shook her head. Oh, it's so dangerous. I nodded in agreement. It's bad judgment, right? But that is the action. How did I get there? I touched each word as I spoke. Event, feelings, thoughts, action. No pause, just bang, 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 one right after the other. I know that progression, she said. It is so hard to pause. Isn't it? I lowered the drawing and I added to it. I raised my pad again. Right before the final box, I had inserted a big arrow. The arrow was labeled pause/choice. I said, self-management inserts a pause between those automatic responses and the action. You get choice. Like, I get to ask myself, does this really need to be said by me now? That is choice. Or do I really want to drive this way? Really? Chinsun nodded thoughtfully, saying, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking it's more than just choice. It's about values. If I could turn up my self-management, I might behave in ways that are more aligned with my values. Our conversation about self-management and values and whether emotions can actually be controlled is next month's episode of The Look and Sound of Leadership. There's a children's toy called Pop Beads. Do you know these toys, Pop Beads? The beads are actually the size of a small ball. And on one side of the small ball is a round opening, and on the other side is a peg with a round head. The round head of one bead fits in the opening of another, and then they are linked. And part of the fun is making these long strands and pulling them apart where they go pop. In this case, I am picturing just two pop beads stuck together, working in tandem. Self-awareness is one bead, and it is stuck like glue to self-management. Thinking of them as a pair can be really powerful. Last month's episode was about self-awareness. That was the first pop bead. This episode about self-management is the second. I want to take you back to a moment in the conversation with Chinsun. She set a goal for herself, right? She wanted to be braver. She wanted to conquer the fearful voice in her head that was holding her back. Her awareness was pretty high, right? She knew both sides of the argument, but she kept feeling like the wrong side was winning, right? She felt like she wasn't able to self-manage herself to the right choice. I asked her, was she speaking up more now than before? And her answer was, not enough. You know, it didn't count. Do you remember that? If you only take one idea from these two episodes, if you don't remember any of the models or the self-talk scripts, I would hope that you remember one thing. Remember this. Engaging your self-awareness and self-management demands that you celebrate incremental improvement. You have to notice and appreciate small growth. Chinsun and I looped back around to this idea at some point, and I shared an image with her. I've been using this image in my own life for a long time. I find it really helpful. I want to share it with you. Here's the image. Picture a platform way up in the air, and now picture yourself standing on it. The platform represents where you currently are in relationship to a development goal that you set for yourself. So you want to speak up more often. You want to eliminate ums. You want to get control over your facial expressions. You want to ask more and talk less. Whatever your goal is, there you are up on that platform. But as long as you're up in the air, you haven't achieved the goal. The goal is to be standing on the ground. So until you speak up completely naturally, or until you have zero ums, you are stuck up on that perch. That's how it feels. So you give it a try, and what happens? Like Chinsun said, well, yeah, a little, right? It's not enough. I still do it. And so we discount the incremental improvement. Now here comes the image I'd like to give you. Whenever you make an attempt towards your goal, when you get even the teensiest bit better, you have added one more square to your platform, and that new square is a little closer to the ground. But since it's not all the way down on the ground, since we didn't, you know, conquer it all at once and leap off the platform and land on the ground, we don't even notice this new step. So we go back up to where we began, and we go, see, I tried, it's not enough. Self-awareness and self-management demands that you notice that one new step, and the next step, and the next step. The image I'd like to give you is of a slope that extends out and down from the original platform. you add the next step to that slope every time you engage your self-awareness and your self-management. You don't even have to be good. Every time you focus on that development goal, you learn a little bit more. You add another step. You are sloping down in increments. You will get there eventually. This idea of incremental improvement is not new with me. If you've read any of Nathaniel Brandon's work on self-esteem, he always included a series of prompts in his books, and they're wonderful. A lot of his prompts have the concept of 5% built into them. The prompt will be something like, if I were going to be 5% better tomorrow, I would... dot, 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 and you finish the sentence. He gives you 20 weeks of prompts like that, and what happens is that incremental development becomes normal and accepted and valued. Dan Harris has a podcast, 10% Happier. It has that concept built right into the title, right? That's the image, and that's the idea that I would like you to hang on to. Incremental improvement is a win, not a failing. Slope your way off that platform one step at a time. If you would like to accelerate your descent down this slope, I have a tool for you. It is great, and I will share it with you right after this month's gratitude. This month's gratitude, wow, it is bursting because, da-da-da-da, the new site is live. Yay! My gratitude this month is all about this wonderful new business that's gone live. My gratitude goes back to last fall when a whole bunch of you completed some surveys for us. Thank you. That was so helpful. More recently, gratitude to the people who tested the website and gave us really generous feedback. That was so helpful. Thank you. And of course, to the team of folks who've built this business, Paul and George and Trent and Laura, thank you so much. And thank you to the people that I cannot wait for you to meet. When you visit the new site, look at the people on our team page. These are the people that you're going to get to interact with and learn from. These are the people who are going to be delivering courses for you. I am so grateful to them. I want you to meet these people. I am offering a 15% discount for whichever course you sign up for first. When you're at checkout, use the promo code PODCAST. There is a course based on Brené Brown's book, Dare to Lead. That course, the Dare to Lead course, is starting really soon. Space is limited. Go check it out. There are links in the show notes. And stay tuned afterwards and listen to Rachel. She's just great. I think you're going to love her. She is another one of the team that I am grateful to. Others that I'm grateful to this month and every month, the folks who post reviews. This month, we got our first ever review from two countries, from South Africa, a review from Ray H., and from Sri Lanka, a review from Balaji Chandrakumar. Thank you both. Then from Australia, Emma, 9421. From Colombia, NanaFlow, 61. And then from here in the U.S., MK, Todd Thompson, S. Shell, 18. Thank you to all of you. I'm so grateful that you take the time, and I am really grateful for what you write. Thank you so much. A final idea about self-management. If the key to self-management is inserting that pause before the action, my question to you is this. What are you going to do in that pause? How are you going to make that pause meaningful? For example, Chin Sun was pausing before she spoke. What happened in her pause? She argued with herself, right? One voice was fear-based, don't speak up, and the other voice was courage-based, yes, speak up. That's a great way to use a pause if it's intentional. Up until our work, Chin Sun's pause had not been intentional, but then she and I spent time preparing for the next time the pause happened. We worked when the situation was not active, when she was not arguing with herself. She thought about that moment. She made agreements with herself about what she wanted to do next time. She planned her reasons. She gave her reasons a name. She connected it to values for her. She thought about the pause. All the self-talk scripts that you've heard in this episode, they are great examples of what you can say to yourself in that pause. And, you know, the pause might only be a second, but in a second, you can ask yourself, hey, will I regret it later if I don't speak up now? You can do that in a second. Or you could ask yourself, does this need to be said by me now? If you think of it ahead of time, you build the on-ramp that will put you on the portion of road you want to be on. Plan for the pause. and then go build your slope step by step. During the episode, there were a lot of self-talk scripts. You can go back and listen again, or we have a PDF for you that'll give you the scripts and also illustrate that four-box progression that I talked about. By the way, I was amazed how many of you reached out to me last month for the self-awareness PDF. That was fantastic. Thank you so much, everyone. It was great to be in touch with you. I hope the PDF helps. Here's another one for this episode. If you would like this month's episode or last month's episode, you've got two choices. One, reach out to me. The link's in the show notes. I'm always happy to be in touch and send you resources anytime, of course. Or you can go to the Essential Communications website. Our new website, which is at the old URL, essentialcom.com. It's essentialcom with two M's.com. Go to the resources tab. You'll find the PDFs under tools, resources, then tools. If you want to think more about this, there are resources in the show notes. One is a book, EQ Applied by Justin Bariso. It's a great guide for doing this work. There are also links to four filters in the episode library. The library is even easier to use than ever. Now, finally, the episodes are all numbered. So, again, go help yourself. This episode is connected to four filters: assertiveness, developing new behaviors, managing yourself. No surprise there, right? Self-talk. If you want to dive into specific episodes, five you might listen to are Acting on the Corporate Stage, which is 162, Building Emotional Intelligence, no great surprise there, right? Episode 109, Creating New Behaviors, episode 110, The Executive Imposter, there's a big one, it's episode 176, and then an oldie but a goodie, How Behaviors Change, episode 25. And I'm not sure why it's not in this list, but there is an episode called Self-Awareness and Self-Management, which is episode 103. Okay, stay tuned for my conversation with Rachel about Dare to Lead. That's it for me. Until next time, I'm Tom Henschel. Thanks so much for listening.